A new book, Rebels on the Back Lot, profiles six maverick movie directors, people like Quentin Tarantino, Steven Soderbergh, and Spike Jonze, who've been at the forefront of film over the last 20 years. When I spoke to the book's author, Sharon Waxman, I began by asking what makes these six so unique.
What distinguishes them, what brings them together as a group, I think, is that they are all auteur directors in the sense that they are directors who have a very specific vision, a very individualistic approach to making films, and they're making very personal films rather than being brought a script by a studio, as often happens when you just hire a director. In Hollywood, these guys are just not interested in making any script that's being brought to them. They have very specific ideas of the films that they want to bring to the screen.
They wouldn't be directing films that Hollywood brought them, or anyway, they never would have gotten started that way because Hollywood would never have spoken to them. These guys never went to film school. They didn't go through the process, the established process one is supposed to go through in order to be a director.
Basically, they didn't go to film school because they were too much in a hurry to start making their movies. And that really distinguishes them from the directors of the 70s, many of whom met and started collaborating from school on forward.
Steven Spielberg and George Lucas. And they made a style of film that really dominated Hollywood. And the people that you're talking about, they're in a reaction to that, aren't they? They're not making big blockbusters.
They had films that were very idiosyncratic to them. The thing is that they were coming to the fore at a time when independent film had suddenly become this movement where it made that possible. And by the mid-1990s, certainly with the success of Pulp Fiction in 1994, the studios really had to stop and take notice of this, you know, nascent movement of independent cinematic voices, mainly because Pulp Fiction became such a pop culture phenomenon. So it really made the studio stop and think about the movies that they were making all day long. They continue, of course, to make those movies, and by that I mean the big action movies, the big star vehicles, the big special effects movies. But they said, you know, there's a market here for a movie that we're not making anymore.
You know what they call a quarter pounder with cheese in Paris?
They don't call it a quarter pounder with cheese?
Oh, man, they get the metric system. They wouldn't a quarter pounder is.
What do they call it?
They call it Royale with cheese.
Royale with cheese.
That's right.
What do they call a Big Mac?
Big Mac's a Big Mac, but they call it Le Big Mac.
Le Big Mac. What do they call a Whopper?
I don't know. I didn't go on a Burger King.
You mentioned Pulp Fiction. This is the great breakthrough movie from Quentin Tarantino. He is just the essential character of this book. He didn't go to film school. He didn't even go to college. He never even finished high school. All he wanted to do was be in movies.
You know, certainly it's true that Pulp Fiction opened the door for a lot of other young filmmakers who were toiling quietly in the shadows. And when they saw this film, and many of them I interviewed in the book said this to me, that they really, it was a ray of light for them. And they said, you know, I can, if he can make that movie, then I can make the kind of movie that I want to make. And I have a prayer of bringing it to an audience that will really see it.
You're speaking of people like Spike Jonze, for instance, David Russell, who made a movie, Three Kings, that is a very different kind of action film.
Yeah, it's not a classic action film in any sense, although he brought his really unusual sensibility to the format of a big action film. There were, you know, it had a big budget and a big star in George Clooney. It was made at Warner Brothers. You don't have any more of a classic studio system functioning anywhere than Warner Brothers, which just churns out movies with big budgets all the time. That is a big company, and they have a certain way of working. And David O. Russell, who had come from the independent world with a movie like Spanking the Monkey and Flirting with Disaster, was not accustomed to working in that studio culture.
David Russell, in making this movie, Three Kings, insists on having things his way and exactly his way in the look of the film, which is unusual. I mean, the quality of light in the frame and how the film looks to you, in the way of shooting, in the way of production. He gets into tremendous fights, including an actual fist fight with the star of the film, George Clooney. I mean, these are not simple, compromising people.
at the same time, look at the movie. You know, look at George Clooney's performance in that movie, and look at his insistence on using a certain kind of film stock gave the film a really unusual hue and a feel to it that was very gritty and something very different. So, you know, they're not insisting just to insist, but they're complicated people and they're artists, you know, and that's part of the nature of the, you know, the artistic process, I think.
Sharon Waxman covers Hollywood for the New York Times. She's the author of the new book, Rebels on the Backlot. Sharon, thank you.
Thank you.